This is WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Scott Walker.
In studio, we have with us Dr. Craig McCabe, local eye doctor. How are you this morning?
Hey, I'm doing just great. I hope everyone else out there is. I hope everyone enjoyed the nice weekend weather. It seems like it's only going to be a couple weekends before it gets too hot.
It's already getting pretty humid out there.
Yeah. So I guess like anything else, you want to stay hydrated and take some breaks in the AC if you can, and help others that are struggling with the heat.
Definitely. Again, Dr. Craig McCabe with us this morning. If you have any questions for him, you can call those in or text them in. Our number, 615-893-1450. Again, 615-893-1450. What do you see an increase in as far as visits from patients this time of year?
Main allergy bloom has already occurred, but the hydrangeas and all the lilies and the beautiful flowers are coming out in my yard now, so I think there's going to be another peak of the allergy season. So if you suffer from allergies, it's best to get ahead of it. So start taking your allergy medicine if you haven't already. The next thing is, you know, we get out now, we start working in the yards, right? And playing sports and having a great time and enjoying the summer. And boy, make sure you've got your protective eyewear on. And isn't that a boring topic? But it just makes your eyes feel more comfortable too. You know, at least wear some sunglasses when you're outside and the sun's out. That UV light helps prevent damage to the retina. It helps you from squinting all the time, and that's what increases and makes worse those crow's feet around our eyes. So it's a good thing just for the look of your face. And of course, use suntan lotion to prevent the UV light from causing damage. Those are all the basic things for that. And then of course, when you're mowing the yard, especially if you're weed whacking or sharpening the lawnmower blades, the grinding, you're working underneath a rusty car, boy, make sure you have some protection on. You'll be glad you did.
So are some eye colors more susceptible to sun damage than others?
Wow, that was a very interesting question there to start off this morning with. Yeah, so let's say that we're talking about macular degeneration. Macular degeneration is much more prominent in the Caucasian rather than the African-American population because they typically have denser pigmented irides, which is the plural for iris, that colored part of your eye, and that pigment helps to filter out the UV light, which is thought to add to the damage to the retina that causes macular degeneration. So if you know someone or someone, of course, in the family, boy, there's another good reason to wear sunglasses outside.
Oh, well, there you go. Here's a text question. And again, you can text us any questions you may have. 615-893-1450. This person says, while doing yard work, I believe I got poison ivy in my eye. I definitely have it on my body, but could it actually be in my eye? That sounds miserable.
Boy, yeah, if you know anybody that's had a bad rash like that, it's almost like getting hit by a skunk. Boy, it's hard to get that better. But of course, Benadryl, steroid creams, those are kind of the fundamentals of poison ivy and helping with that. Of course, it's an allergic reaction, type 1 hypersensitivity allergic reaction. So, yes, absolutely do that. And of course, if you have it on your hands or you're scratching with your fingernails and you're rubbing your eyes, that of course is how it's spread. So try significantly not to do that. You know, it's hard to state a time when it's good to rub your eyes. So just in general, try not to rub your eyes. Instead, put some artificial teardrops in to lubricate washout, pollens, what have you, foreign bodies that may be bothering you there, and re-moisten your eyes. So that's another thing. We got the AC on in the cars, and that's blowing right on our face, because boy, doesn't that feel good and help cool us off. But it dries your eyes out. So you may need more artificial teardrops at this time of year, just like in winter when we're by the fireplace, but this time convection currents from that air blowing across your eyes dries them out. So that, and like we said, if you have regular allergies or you get allergies in your eyes, I've always recommended that Pataday drop with the green stripe, the once-a-day extra strength formula that's over-the-counter at any drugstore, pharmacy, anything like that, grocery store, and put a drop of that in, and that lasts all day long. So that'll help you with allergies in your eyes, no matter what the source is.
Here's another question that says, I'm taking a trip to a very dry part of the country, and we'll obviously be drinking more water. He said, give me the amount of liquid to make my eyes moist, or how they should, I guess. But give me the amount of liquid to make my eyes more moist.
Yeah, well, of course, it's proportionate to your size, activity, and the relative humidity for which they're exposed to. Now, you're going to an arid climate, and boy, it's nothing like waiting for the hottest time of the year to go to the desert or something. But, you know, I remember with my family as a small child back when all these rules were relaxed and we didn't even think about them. You know, we had lap belts, not the shoulder straps on our seat belts. And I remember being in the, what was it, a Buick 225 Electra. That was kind of at the end time of the boat kind of vehicles where it had small fins, but they were still really long and all metal. And no AC. And going through Needles, Arizona. And it was at least 110 in the shade. I'm not exaggerating. You can talk to people out there. That's one of the hottest places in our country in the summer. And boy, I remember my dad doing about 90, 95. Of course, back then, the speed limits were about 80, 85. And we had all the windows down. And I think I was laying just underneath the rear window or windshield, because they let you do all kinds of stupid things back then. Now we know better. You got to be strapped in. And we were just all panting. I remember like that. And of course, that dehydrates you. And don't forget about your pets, talking about panting, to keep them hydrated as well. But if you're a bigger person, you need more water. If you're smaller, you need less. And if you're in a dry environment, you need more. If you're exercising, you need more. If you're on diuretics, you know, or these other things that can dry out or give you a dry mouth, you need more. So you can always use artificial lubricating teardrops in your eyes. Now, if you're having problems with dry eyes, despite that, maybe you work on a computer a lot, or night driving, or other things that make you focus. You read a lot. A lot of our patients read a lot, and good for them. Keeps the brain sharp, but it also decreases the blink rate, as does night driving and staring at a computer screen or a TV. So all those kind of things, you need to use the artificial teardrops more often. If you have any of those symptoms of dry, scratchy, gritty, sandy eyes, and if you put a drop in and it makes them feel better, then you know your eyes are a little dry. And if despite those drops four times a day, you're still having issues, and no one can use drops four times a day, but say once or twice a day, go see your ophthalmologist, and they can put in some tear duct plugs or do something to give your eyes more moisture than just the bottles of eye drops.
You know, it really seems like dry eyes cause so many problems and so many uncomfortable feelings.
Well, it decreases your performance. If you like to play sports, and now everybody's watching their kids play sports, whether it's soccer, baseball, tennis. We've got a lot of people over 50 now playing pickleball. And of course, when you're over 50, you have a greater incidence of dry eyes because our glands just don't work as well, including the tear gland, the lacrimal gland that makes the moisture in the eyes. So it's great to get out, and it's great to exercise and use your mind and your body together. That's one of the best ways to keep your memory, by the way, the studies have shown, using your mind and body together. But that's another topic. Anyways, so then you will need to use more artificial teardrops. And, of course, the wraparound sunglasses not only protect your eyes from UV damage and things like that, but also wind and foreign bodies and things like that. So another case, and you can get them where the sunglasses are very light tint or a darker tint or polarized if you're on the water or do a lot of driving. So pick the ones that are best for you, and you'll enjoy whatever you're doing more.
Again, Dr. Craig McCabe on air with us. Our number is 615-893-1450. Here's another question. It says, Dr. McCabe, do you remember those blue blocker sunglasses they used to advertise on infomercials all the time? Well, are those still around, and do they really help your eyes that much?
So that's a pretty good smart question again Monday morning here early on. And
weren't the ones like orange-colored glasses?
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. And we now have blue-blocking filters in certain reading glasses. Gosh, you got them on your phone. How about that? You can set it for night mode and all these other things, which decreases blue light. And most all of the high-grade, high-evidence studies that have been done on blue light and blue blocking and things like that show that indeed it affects our sleep cycles through the pineal gland in the brain, but which has a significant amount of inputs, as you would imagine, from the eyes. The eyes affect a lot of different things in the brain that you may not even be thinking about, and your sleep-wake cycles, of course, is one. And blue light kind of keeps you awake, makes it harder to go to sleep, which is normally what you get when you're outside during the daytime, which makes sense. And then when night comes and the sun goes away and we don't have a blue sky anymore and things like that, we don't have that much blue light exposure. And that's kind of letting our body know it's time to get some rest. Now, that's why we have them on our phones, too. And if you look at it, they will say that it's more not for during the day or all the time, but in the evening and to help you sleep. And one of the worst things you can do in the middle of the night is get up and get on your tablet or your phone, which a lot of people do, because boom, you get flooded with blue light and then you have a hard time going to sleep. Oh, I couldn't sleep last night. So that's one of the no-nos. But what there aren't many studies of any high caliber saying is that blue light blocking helps you during the day on your computer and things like that with eye strain. Now, you get eye strain, like I said, from dry eyes because of a decreased blink rate when you're on the computer or focusing hard. And that's the majority of the issues with it. So if you keep your eyes moist, if you're on one of those people that are on a computer 6 hours a day, or you got two monitors and you're really into it. I had a patient come in that said they had three or four monitors. And I thought, oh my gosh, they're going to have dry eyes. But anyways, keep them moist and they'll feel good and you'll perform better. You'll see better. You'll play better at sports. Simple things like that. Now, do those orange lenses, are they good during the day? And they've kind of gone out of vogue. You're exactly right, who texted in with that. But we still have the blue blocking without the orange filters, and people didn't care for the orange filters because it made everybody look like, you know, they had Addison's disease or something, or they were eating too much cheese or something. They were too orange. Everything had an orange tint to it. And so you can get it now without that, and so those have kind of gone out of fashion because of that.
Here's another question. Any home remedies you can suggest for clogged tear ducts?
Yeah, you know, you just get that Roto-Rooter.
Sounds painful.
And, you know, you get that brush that goes down there and pulls it all out. And so home remedies for a blocked tear duct. Well, I would say if it's not a really bad case, then absolutely go get some of that Pataday eye drops that I told you for allergies, because now at this time, when you get allergies, you get inflammation and swelling of the mucous membranes, whether they be in your mouth or your throat, what have you. And that in the tear duct, which is teeny, teeny, tiny thin, you get some swelling of the mucosa on the inner lining of the tear duct, and that can functionally block it off or make it like a slow kitchen drain. You know, how it's draining, but not near as fast. And so the water's backing up, but instead of into the sink, it's into your eye. And you may eventually have it where it puddles up and it blocks your vision when you're looking down reading. Or maybe it is bothersome whenever you're doing some activity or on the computer, things like that. Or occasionally you may get a tear run down your face and people saying, oh, what happened? Did somebody kick your puppy? No, that didn't happen. I'm just having a dry eye issue. Boy, so many things today we're talking about dry eyes, aren't they?
Yeah.
And you know what? Dry eyes, it doesn't matter if you have the most expensive pairs of glasses that you could have. It doesn't matter if you've had the most expensive lens implant for cataract surgery. It doesn't matter if you've got perfect vision. If you've got dry eyes, you're not seeing as well. Your eyes are red, which is uncomfortable. And they feel kind of itchy, scratchy, gritty, sandy, like you got sand in it. That's kind of a hallmark. So any of those issues, use the artificial tear drops. Make sure you're drinking enough liquids. And if that continues on, then you've got more than just a mild case. Go see your ophthalmologist and they can fix that right up for you, usually the same day.
Not bad. You know, I think I've always gotten at least a grain of sand in my eye every time I go to the beach, without fail. It always happens.
And you wear glasses.
And I do. Yeah, but I still get it. I don't know how.
So the question is, do you have a wraparound pair of sunglasses?
I don't.
Yeah, because the ones you're not, you can literally stick, I'm looking at Scott right now, and lots of people have regular glasses, you can literally stick a finger or two on the sides. So they provide no protection from the wind coming from the side. And of course, the wind carries up grains of sand several feet into the air. And if you're laying down, just forget it. You don't need to have a big bully kick sand in your face. You get it just from the wind at the beach. So absolutely, get a pair of side shields or wraparound sunglasses. And you can order off of Amazon these little triangular pieces that'll click onto your glasses, mm-hmm. like you have, Scott, and they'll block it at times like that, too. Now, it may make you look like you work on the line at Nissan, but it will, just like there, protect your eyes.
Hey, now, going back to those clogged tear ducts, I've never experienced that, thankfully, but is that painful to have a clogged tear duct?
It is a pain, but it's not painful. I think people will tell you because too much moisture in your eyes is not painful until it persists and persists and you rub and you rub and you're not using, you know, one of those soft lanolin covered, you know, tissues, and you're just rubbing it with your eye or with your shirt or with your sleeve. By the way, don't do that. Not a good idea. But anyways, and certainly don't do that on your glasses. That's the number one cause for losing those expensive coatings that you get on your glasses to make them scratch less or turn dark outside or, you know, be protected. So don't do that. Use that silk-free lint cloth that you get, or that lint-free silk cloth, thank you, that you get. And so when you're, it doesn't matter, when you're out in the sun or you're at the beach or whatever, just do these common things during summer for sun protection, whether it be, you know, now we got clothes that are SPF rated. Isn't that neat,
fancy.
Right?
Yeah.
And so you don't have to use the lotions except where you don't have those clothes, you know, covering your skin. And of course, you always need protection for your eyes, one of the most important things that you have going.
Here's another question that says, I've got the opposite of blocked tear ducts. It says, my eyes have started watering for the past several months. What causes this?
Ah, what does the tear duct do?
Lets tears out.
Out of where?
Out of the eye. Out of the tear duct.
And where do they go?
They go down your face if you're crying.
But not the tear duct. That's when they bypass the tear duct. So people think the tear duct is where the moisture comes from the tear gland, that lacrimal gland, into the eye and moisturizes the eye. And therefore, blocking the eye, just like this person who texted in, would cause a dry eye problem. Not true. Because we have to understand our anatomy. The lacrimal gland, which is just underneath our eyebrows, and two-thirds of it's actually in the upper eyelid, through certain ducts, but not the tear duct, and other accessory tear duct glands, Wolf and Krausling, and you don't have to know that detail. But anyways, that's how moisture gets into our eye. And the moisture is drained away, kind of like the sewer system or the drain in your kitchen sink or your bathtub. It's drained away by the tear duct. So a blocked tear duct does the opposite of causing a dry eye. It causes an eye that has, we say, epiphora, or too much moisture and tearing, and that's where it can puddle up and run down your cheeks. What we do in a moderate dry eye is we do block the tear duct, and that blocks one of the routes that moisture escapes your eye. The other major one is evaporation, like we talked about earlier, but blocking the tear duct gives you more moisture. And this is a common thing. I took a minute to talk about it because at least once a day people say, how can my tear duct be blocked if I've got too much moisture in my eye? You know what I mean? So it's just the opposite of that. It blocks the exit, not the entrance.
You know, it would be very awkward to look like you're crying all the time. I could see where that would be annoying as well.
Well, you'd want to soak it up to get some sympathy out of it, you know.
Yeah.
You know, oh, yeah, life's
been
terrible.
A tough day.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, but, you know, after a while, what happens is people rub and rub underneath their eyelids, and they'll get red or dark red circles where they're kind of rubbing their skin raw, just like dog that scratches, or you that scratch some kind of rash or something. That's the worst thing you can do, right? You can rub the skin raw and break down the skin barrier. So don't let that happen. Go see your eye doctor, and you need to go to an eye doctor that takes some time with you, not a quick thing just to get glasses or something, a medical eye exam. And this is a very easy thing to get improved.
Our number again, 615-893-1450. Dr. Craig McCabe in studio with us this morning. This next question says, I've heard you talk about medicines interacting with your eyes. It says, I take aspirin each night before I go to bed. Will this hurt or help my eyesight?
Well, aspirin can hurt your stomach and other things there in the GI tract. So not so much your eyes, but the big question is, and this is going a little bit out of eyes, but why do you take aspirin? Are you taking it because you've taken it for 10 years or longer, and it was thought to be prophylaxis or helping to prevent heart disease and stroke? Well, if you don't have any precursors, a real bad family history, or any heart or blood problem disease that can lead to these heart attacks and strokes, you should not be on the aspirin prophylactically. That was a large study done, supported by NIH in our country, maybe 2.5-3 years ago. And before that, you know, the drugstores would just sell big jugs of low-dose 81 milligram coated aspirins. Coated's important. Make sure it's coated, not BC powder. Boy, you want to get an ulcer or a bad thing with your esophagus, you know, take uncoated ones, because you want it to get absorbed in your intestines, not in your stomach or in your esophagus. So anyways, aspirin can have bad effects. Not so much on your eyes, unless you've got a bleeding problem. So maybe it's diabetes, macular degeneration, other things that have bleeding problems in the eyes. You know, being on a blood thinner makes it worse. So it does that all over your body as well as your eyes. Just make sure that you're not on aspirin unnecessarily, as we know better now that you shouldn't be on that unless you have a precursor condition or problem where you should be on a blood thinner.
you know, it's wild how things change over time where, you know, the medical community recommends XYZ, then 2 years later, well, don't do that. You know, it's always fascinating to kind of look back in history and see all the different things that were once recommended that are a no-go today.
Yeah, and don't go by, you know, what you read from non-intelligent, non-trained sources.
Oh, you mean like social media?
You know, if it's a doctor in that field in social media, that's fine. And there's a lot of those now, and that's actually a good source of places to go to. But if it's some guy, you know, who was telling you about skateboards, you know, last year, you know, or whatever it may be, I'm exaggerating, but whatever it may be, then that's not your best source. So, you know, go to the source. I think Justin Bieber had a song like that. He gets his from the source. So do that, and you'll be much better educated, and you won't go off and do the crazy wrong things that have not been scientifically proven. And let's give some credit to all those scientists that make our health, our lives, our world, our children, our homes, everything better. They work so hard, and you know what? They don't get paid that much at all. And lots of times, you know, they're working 50, 60, sometimes 70-hour weeks doing their research because they're trying to help our country and the people of our country. And they try to live by a code where they live by the truth and what's been scientifically proven. I think Aristotle once said, what you cannot measure, you cannot understand. And so the beginning of understanding is to be able to accurately measure things, their causes and their effects. But, you know, I digress. But anyways, we've gotten away now in our country, and I'm not trying to be political at all, but we've gotten away from really understanding facts and what's truth, and we've gone by people's opinions that pretty much don't know squat about these things. So, you know, always consider the source, get yourself good data, and you will make good decisions.
You know, those who are kids and teenagers today, they're going to have a real issue as they get older trying to figure out what's real, what's fake, what's, you know, what is fictitious out there that's written online, because I think they just believe a lot of just stuff they read online as truth when often it's not.
Well, not only that, and a lot of them are using AI and other sources to help get better grades.
Yeah,
and they're actually cheating. I had a math teacher come into my office last month. She says, you know, I'm in the situation as well as many of my fellow teachers of trying to understand when kids are using, you know, free websites, AI, to do their math problems, to write their compositions or their paragraphs. What's happening now on ACTs and SATs exams where they have a written part is they're writing using vocabulary and acronyms as if they're texting. LOL. Oh. So, you know, this goes to show, you know, they call it the dumbing down of America, but you know, there's another group that don't get appreciated enough is the teachers in our country. And boy, don't we wish our kids have the best teachers, right?
Yeah.
But we don't seem to be placing enough emphasis on quality control and happiness and encouragement, both monetarily and elsewise, for people to become teachers. And, you know, we want the best teaching our kids. And lots of times it's not the school, but the teacher in the classroom that has the biggest effect on our children's intelligence and personality. And, boy, I'm just digressing about everything today. But, yeah, let's promote those people and help those people as best we can. Most of them are working on hardly any budget at all.
You ever catch yourself, you're talking to somebody and you accidentally say, at the end of the sentence, exclamation point or period, if you're voice to texting?
Yeah, that's your voice to texting or dictation, which a lot of doctors do. And yes, I have. Well, where I'll do it is when I leave a message on their voicemail or something.
What's,
you know,
because
then
Dr.
I'll
McCabe?
Think it's like talk to text. And so then I will delete that one and redo it again. But yeah, that does happen because of that now.
We're going to take a quick break. Our number is 615-893-1450. Again, 615-893-1450. If you have a question for Dr. McCabe, call it in or text it to us right now.
The doctor is in. Dr. Craig McCabe, local eye doctor on WGNS Radio.
Hi, this is Peter Demas. Join our family at Demas's Restaurant. So many people buy so many different things. You know, I go out to eat and I like eating steak, where my wife will end up getting her salmon. Our salmon is cut fresh, so she loves her salmon. It's one of those places that you can go, you can get pastas or chicken. You know, the kids love it. Get what you want at Demas's Restaurant and not be limited just to one or two items. Join our family at Demas's Restaurant, 1115 Northwest Broad Street in Murfreesboro.
If you're planning an upcoming trip and want to include your pet, we have all the travel supplies you'll need at Animal City. This is Amanda at Animal City, inviting your family to come do business with my family. Animal City is Murfreesboro's hometown family-owned pet store. We've had the honor and pleasure of serving the community for 33 years. If you want to see some photos of our adorable pets, feel free to check out our Facebook page, Animal City of Murfreesboro, Tennessee. We're at 919 Northwest Broad Street, right here in Murfreesboro.
Capstar is now a division of Old National Bank. You'll notice some changes as we complete the transition to Old National Bank. The Murphy Spread team that you know and trust at Capstar are always ready to serve you. We'll temporarily use Capstar Bank, a division of Old National Bank, until the transition's complete. As always, we're ready to serve you at Capstar Bank, a division of Old National Bank, member FDIC.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, and streaming at WGNSradio.com.
You're listening to WGNS and Dr. Craig McCabe, local eye doctor, in studio with us right now. You can call or text in any questions you may have for him, 615-893-1450. Here is another prescription drug-related question. I know aspirin's not prescription, but here is a prescription drug-related question. It says, my teenage son takes Adderall on a daily basis twice a day. Due to his ADHD, could this potentially cause any eye problems with him taking it long term?
Not that I know of for Adderall per se. It can help increase a dry eye problem, but usually in kids, unless there's other factors or drugs or other things going on, we have extra moisture and a really 100% working lacrimal gland, tear gland, when we're younger. So in fact, the studies show that when we're 20, if that's 100% of moisture that we make then, by the time we're 60, we only make 60% of that amount when we're 20. And hence, due to that, due to more time spent on computers and tablets and display screens like that, we tend to get more of a dry eye problem as we get older. So, any of the drugs like that can do that. Some of the worst actors for making a dry eye, I guess we should go over that, is of course diuretics, as we mentioned, antihistamines for allergies, pain pills. Boy, that's a big one if you're on a narcotic pain pill, as well as things like blood pressure medications that are beta blockers. That would be like metoprolol, propranolol, those things that end in lol. Those are beta blockers, and they've been shown to decrease the function of the lacrimal gland as well. So any of those kind of things can. And you can also have changes when you have chemotherapy done. And depending on which chemicals they're using, you can either have an eye that goes too dry or an eye that goes too moist.
Now, beta blockers, is that the medication that the PGA said no more? If you're a golfer, you cannot take this during our tournaments because it calms you or maybe wipes out a certain percentage of emotion, so it makes it easier to concentrate on your swing?
Well, it does. That's a good question. So it does lower your blood pressure by keeping your heart rate from becoming elevated. Matter of fact, if your heart rate's too slow, you do not want to be. It's a contraindication to be on a beta blocker like metoprolol, propranolol. If you have a little bit of a sensory tremor, a little bit of shake as we get older, oftentimes those beta blockers will calm that down, give you calmer hands. So that could be. A lot of performers will take it because it helps calm their nerves before they go on to do whatever. And if they do have a little tremor, it helps them out a lot. So yes, beta blockers can do that, as well as dry the eyes. So, but the other, whatever, four categories of antihypertensives or blood pressure medications do not, just those.
It's interesting how so many medications out there, they have all these side effects, some which could be used for the good, but a lot for the bad.
That's right. So we talk about blood pressure medicines. Minoxidil came out as an antihypertensive blood pressure medicine. And then those men taking that got some hair growth. So now it just rebranded, renamed, and Rogaine. And it's the main one for hair growth. Glaucoma drop, Lumigan, Latanoprost. They found that it made ladies' eyelashes grow, which they love, and they'll spend a lot of money on. And it turns out you can use this inexpensive medication and make your eyelashes grow, where you don't have to spend the money as long as you have some eyelashes to grow. It makes them longer, darker, thicker, just like a Maybelline model. So they will come out for things that they'll find is better. The diabetic drugs, right? They found out that certain classes of these, the semaglutides, they will make patients less hungry and help them lose weight. And now Ozempic and Mounjaro, those things, boy, you hear about those pretty much more than anything else in the news. And now they're used for weight loss as well as diabetes sugar control.
Here's another question, and I'm guessing word check or something came over this person's phone and recorrected what they're trying to say. I'll just read it, what it says here. It says, I struggle with masculine degenerative disease. It's hereditary in my family.
Right.
And in my family and one of my eyes. My vision is like looking through a coffee stirrer, not a strainer, but stirrer, and my right eye is slowly getting worse. Do you have any tips on how I can possibly use this disease and use it down? I have no idea what that last sentence is supposed to mean.
Yeah. and people that have a hard time seeing, they have a hard time texting too.
Yes.
So have some patience with those people. But, you know, just regular people sometimes have a hard time texting, but if you can't see that well, like I said, it makes every performance of an activity, even texting, more difficult. I would probably say that most women that have probably been married more than 10 years will say, yeah, we have a bad problem with masculine degeneration in America. But I'm sure what they're speaking of is macular degeneration, which is the most common cause of sight loss in our country for people that are just at the end or are not working at an older age. So, yes, that macular degeneration will cause these sight issues, just like you're talking about there. And then the question of this was, help me with that, Scott. Go back to that.
I think I already closed it.
There were so many things in that.
Let me see if I can't pull it back. It already closed it. It's really hard to get back to messages on this device after you already read it and click the next one.
These newfangled gadgets, Scott.
I know.
Got to get a grandkid in here to use these.
You do.
So I think it was what's the best way to help take care of this? And it doesn't matter whether it's ophthalmology or any other medical specialty. Find a good doctor that treats this and go see those people. And if it seems like something's amiss or you're plateauing, you're not improving like you should, you know, feel free to ask or go to and get a second opinion. You know, it's your eyes, it's your life. You get one life here on this planet. You want to live it as productively as possible. So make sure that you're getting the best treatment possible. Now, I tell people once they find a good doctor, you know, you should probably stay with them instead of doctor shopping or hopping around just for this, that, or the other. Maybe they're a little closer. That's not why you go see a doctor. Oh, my gosh, because they're close. You go see a doctor because you're going to get the best health care. That's who you need to see. And that's hard to overestimate the importance of that.
Last question. I say last question because we're pretty much out of time, but this one says, I'm interested in studying ophthalmology. What's the best school you'd recommend in this area?
Well, gosh, first of all, know what you're getting yourself into. It's a long road to hoe anytime you go into medicine now. In ophthalmology, it's a minimum of 12 years after high school. If you can deal with that, then the first thing you got to do is you've got to get very good grades and do your ACT, SAT prep so that you can get very good scores on those to get into a good university. You don't have to get into the best. You don't have to get an Ivy League. You don't have to go to Vanderbilt. You don't have to go to a private school. You can go to MTMC here and get into med school. But you got to have good grades. And you got to keep yourself out of trouble. So you got to stay on the path, as I would tell my kids. My daughter is a cornea specialist outside of San Francisco in California. And that's what you got to do. And it's tough. And it's a long road to hoe. But if you look in U.S. World News, once a year, they do a month. It's a monthly magazine. So they'll do a monthly on the best U.S. hospitals. And those are often associated with the best U.S. schools per specialty. Gastroenterology, dermatology, radiology, and ophthalmology, and all the others. So that's a good place if you're looking, you think you've got the grades where you can go to the best. But I want to thank everyone for these wonderful questions, been constant questions, and we'll do this the second Monday of each month. And I hope everybody has a safe and wonderful June.
Sounds great. Again, Dr. Craig McCabe with us this morning on WGNS.
You've been listening to Dr. Craig McCabe with McCabe Vision Center. McCabe Vision Center is in Murfreesboro at 122 Heritage Park Drive. Their phone number, 615-904-9024. Or find McCabe Vision Center online at McCabeVisionCenter.com. You're tuned to WGNS Murfreesboro, your trusted source for local news and more since 1947.